أعوذ بالله السميع العليم من الشيطان الرجيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد سيد الأولين والآخرين وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. We praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We send peace and blessings upon our beloved messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, upon his family, his companions, and those who follow them until the end of time. Brothers and sisters on Zoom here at the ICNYU, as well as brothers and sisters on Instagram Live. Let me try to adjust these cameras so we're all kind of, there we go, kind of looking at each other better. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillah, welcome to our weekly gathering as we're reading through the book Manhaj al-Abidin of Sayyidina Imam al-Ghazali rahimahullahu ta'ala. This is a very important text that is going through seven obstacles to living a life of faith. And the first obstacle that we have been discussing is the obstacle of knowledge. And what is meant by an obstacle here is something that if you don't assume responsibility for it, then you may fall into trouble. And this book is not written for like specialists or people, you know, who are like scholars. This book is written for everybody. And my job is to explain the text, inshallah, and then animate it in a way that is relevant to our lives, alhamdulillah, rabbil alameen, and to the lives of the people around us, alhamdulillah. And we stopped here towards the end on the section on knowledge. And he says, قَالَ رَحِمُهُ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى, and he's quoting Abu Yazid al-Bastami, after talking about the challenges and the dangers of you know, like knowledge and the methodology that you should have when you want to learn religion and what you should focus on and what are the details of the things that you should focus on, alhamdulillah, he now begins to talk about some of the dangers. And he says, قَالَ أَبُو يَزِيدَ الْبُسْطَامِ. If you're following it, unfortunately, the translations that I've seen, again, it's not easy to translate this text. Last week, towards the end, my mind, I started getting tired. I made mistakes in translation. It's not simple, right? It's not an easy thing. So we ask Allah Ta'ala an yassilana al-amra, inshaAllah. Qala Abu Yazid al-Bastami rahimuhullahu ta'ala. Al-Bastam is near Naysapur, which is an area now known as, you know, part of Iran. He says, Qala Abu Yazid al-Bastami rahimuhullah. Amiltu fil mujahadati 30 sanatan, fama wajadtu shay'an ashadda aliyya min al-ilmi wa khatari. He mentions that Abu Yazid says that I worked on my nafs, like I worked on myself, whatever that means, my character, the inner qualities, worship, being a better person, being a better man. I worked in all these things for over 30 years. And he says, فَمَا وَجَدْتُ شَيْئًا أَشَدَّ عَلَيَّ مِنَ الْعِلْمِ وَخَطَرِ. And I found nothing more difficult than knowledge and being, you know, the dangers that knowledge brings. What he means is what we talked about last week, like learning for the wrong reasons. And then Imam al-Ghazali, he says, وَإِيَّاكَ أَن يُزَيِّنَ لَكَ الشَّيْطَانُ فَيَقُولُ لَكَ. And he says, be careful that shaitan, after you hear about the dangers of knowledge, showing off, not learning for the right reasons, after hearing all that, he says, be careful that shaitan doesn't try to trick you with that and make you say, إِذَا كَانَ قَدْ وَرَدَ هَذَا الْخَطْرُ الْعَظِيمُ فِي الْعِلْمِ فَتَرْكُهُ أَوْلَى. The shaitan will say to you, know, like, if these are the dangers associated with learning, then you should just stop learning, like don't engage. Imam Ghazali says, be careful of that. فَلَا تَظُنَّكَ ذَٰلِكَ فَلَقَدْ رُوِيَ عَنْ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صلى الله عليه وسلم. He said, don't fall for that. Don't fall into that kind of negative assumption because it has been narrated on behalf of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, أَنَّهُ أُطْلِعْتُ لَيْلَةَ الْمِعْرَاجِ. Prophet says that he know, on the night of Mi'raj, he was raised out of Nar, and he saw that night, he was presented to the hellfire. He saw what was going on in hell. فَرَأَيْتُ أَكْثَرَ أَهْلِهَا الْفُقَرَاءَ. And I found that the majority of the inhabitants of hell were the poor. قَالُوا يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ مِنَ الْمَالِ. So the Sahaba immediately said, like from wealth? قَالَ لَا بَلْ مِنَ الْعِلْمِ. He said, no, they were poor, meaning they didn't have knowledge. فَمَنْ لَمْ يَتَعَلَّمُ الْعِلْمَ لَا يَتَأَتَّ لَهُ أَحْكَامُ الْعِبَادَاتِ وَالْقِيَامُ بِحُقُوقِهَا كَمَا يَنْبَغِي. And Sayyidina Imam al-Ghazali says, that makes sense, because the person who doesn't learn, and he's repeated this over and over and over again, as though he's trying to say, this is why you learn. The reason that we learn is to become better in worship. So he says, for the person who doesn't learn, then that person is not going to be able to conform to the rules of worship, nor to establish the rights and responsibilities of worship as he or she has been commanded. وَلَوْ أَنَّ رَجُلًا عَبَدَ اللَّهَ سُبْحَانَ عِبَادَةَ مَلَائِكَةِ السَّمَوَاتِ بِغَيْرِ عِلْمٍ كَانَ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ فَشَمِّرْ. Then he says, you know, if somebody were to worship Allah for 70 years like the angels on ignorance, because we have to make a point here, then they would still be a loser. Why? Because part of ignorance is intention. Part of knowledge is to have the right intention. So for 70 years, right? This is kind of hyperbolic, right? He's making hyperbole, this kind of hyperbolic statement. But what he's saying is, if someone did a lot of worship and they did so on ignorance, they'll be losers. فَشَمِّرْ أَيْ فَجَاهِدْ. So work hard. Someone's asking, مَا اسم الْكِتَابِ اسْمُ هَذَا الْكِتَابِ مِنْهَاجْ الْعَابِدِينَ إِلَى جَنَّةِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. صفحة 127. Then he says, فَشَمِّرِي فِي طَلَبِ الْعِلْمِ بِالْبَحْثِ وَالتَّلْقِينِ وَالتَّدْرِيسِ. He said, so struggle hard in seeking knowledge. Someone's asking on Instagram, how can I go back to Allah? MashaAllah, you just started that beautiful question. Allahu Akbar. MashaAllah. If someone asks, how can I go back to Allah? You're already back. SubhanAllah. Allah has guided you to ask, Kayfa Atub? And today we're going to talk about Tawbah. Alhamdulillah. Falhamdulillah ala kulli hal. And that's what this book is about. This book is about the practical application of this relationship with Allah. What's called Al-Mu'amalah. So he says, فَشَمِّرِي فِي طَلَبِ الْعِلْمِ بِالْبَحْثِ وَالتَّلْقِينِ وَالتَّدْرِيسِ وَاجْتَنِبِي الْكَسَلَ وَالْمَلَالَ وَإِلَّا فَأَنْتَ فِي خَطْرِ الضَّلَالِ. Sayyidina Imam al-Ghazali says, therefore, you gotta work hard, right? After what the Prophet ﷺ just said he saw on Laylatul Isra wal Mi'raj, then work hard so you can establish worship and worship correctly. And avoid laziness. Because if you don't, he said, you're going to be astray. We ask Allah to protect us. وَالْعِيَاذُ بِاللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ. Then he says, as he completes kind of this section, and now he's going to talk about some of the foundations of belief that are agreed upon by Ahl Sunnah. Alhamdulillah. He says, ثُمَّ جُمْلَةُ الْأَمْرِ. And he said, you know, the summary of all of this, that you need to know as far as knowledge, أنك إذا نظرت في دلائل صنع الله عز وجل وأنعمت النظر علمت أن لك ولنا إلها قادرا عالما حيا مريدا سميعا بصيرا. And he says, rahimahullah, to summarize all of this when it comes to the issues of faith, if you were to look at dalail, the word Dalla and dalail and dalil actually comes from a word which means to direct you to something other than what you're looking at. فَالدَلِيل لَا يَدُولُ عَلَى مَاهِيَةِ الشَّيْءِ يعني بَلْ يَدُولُ عَلَى مَاهِيَةِ غَيْرِهِ لَا يَدُولُ عَلَى مَاهِيَةِ نَفْسِهِ بَلْ يَدُولُ عَلَى مَاهِيَةِ غَيْرِهِ. Say the word dalil is something that directs you to something else, not itself. So that's why we say everything تدل على وجود الله. Everything in creation is an evidence for the existence of Allah, because it's not Allah. سبحانه وتعالى ليس كمثله شيء وهو سميع البصير, as mentioned in the Quran. So the word دلائل, here he says, if you are to ponder on the دلائل of creation, the creation of Allah, وأمعنت, and you are to think like, you know, and أمعنت means, you know, you really invested your thoughts. علمت أن لك ولنا إله, علمت أن لكنا لك وإيانا, and you would know that you as well as us, we have an إله. There's a God. قادرا, in control of all things. عالما, who knows all things. حيا, who's living. مريدا, whose will, of course, is before creation. سميعا بصيرا, who sees and hears all things. سبحانه وتعالى, متكلما, who speaks. منزها عن حدوث الكلام والعلم والإرادة, and who is transcends any physical notions of speech, knowledge, and will, right? Our speech, our knowledge, and our will has a beginning and an end. It was called hudooth. Where in Islam, we say that God Almighty, subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah Azza wa Jal, is, mashallah, beyond any type of, any type of physical representation or existence. Someone's asking, do you consider the Ash'aris part of Ahl Sunnah? The Ash'aris are Ahl Sunnah, alhamdulillah. As mentioned by Imam As-Safarani Al-Hanbali, Al-Ahl Sunnah Thalatha, in Aqidah we have three madhabs. The only one who denied this are the Salafis and the extreme, extreme Sufis. But the majority of Sunnis, alhamdulillah, we say in the madhabs of Aqidah, there are three madhab of Ahl Sunnah. This is also mentioned by Sayyidina Imam As-Subki radiallahu anhu, Imam As-Safarini radiallahu anhu. وجمهور علماء, alhamdulillah, what I'm about to say is mentioned by the majority of them. You should stay away from this fitna. And Imam Abu Hassan Ash'ari, he's from the Salaf, from the time of the Salaf. But the majority of Sunnis throughout history have been Ash'ari. That's why Al-Azhar, Ash'ari, Syria, Ash'ari, Morocco, Ash'ari, Jazair, Ash'ari, Libya, Ash'ari, Senegal, Mali, Nigeria, Sudan, Somal, the Congo, Malaysia, Indonesia, Bosnia, Albania, Turkey, كلهم أشاعرة. So we should think, if I wanted to split Sunnis, if I wanted to divide Sunnis, the best way I can do that is to tell them that their ulama are wrong and astray, that their aqidah is wrong and astray, and now it's allowed to oppose them and fight them. And this is what happened to us. وَلَا حَوْلَ وَلَا قُوَةَ لَا بِاللَّهِ الْعَظِيمِ. Of course, in Saudi Arabia, you used to be Ash'ari and Maturidi, as you used to be Maliki. The majority of Hijaz was Maliki and Shafi. فَالْحَمْدُلِلَّهِ عَلَى كُلِّ حَالٍ. فَأَنَا, me personally, I believe in this wide definition of Ahl Sunnah, is held by the majority of the ulama, alhamdulillah, as mentioned by Sayyidina Imam As-Safarini in Al-Lum'ah, who says, radiallahu anhu, that Ahl Sunnah are three madhab. In Afghanistan, you're Maturidi, like in Pakistan, Maturidi. Parts of Iran, Maturidi. Imam Abu Mansur al-Maturidi. And most people, they don't even know about this stuff. Why do you want to bring this up and fight about this? وَلَا حَوْلَ وَلَا قُوَةَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ الْعَلِيِّ الْعَظِيمِ. But this quote is very important. Sayyidina Imam As-Safarini, he said that in the madhabs of Aqidah, we have three groups. The madhab of Ahlul Hadith, and the Imam of the Ahlul Hadith is Sayyidina Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal radiallahu anhu. The second is what we call Ahlul Kalam, wa Ahlul Kalam, Imamuhum, the two Imams, Imam Abu Hassan al-Ash'ari and Imam Abu Mansur al-Maturidi, alhamdulillah. And the third, as mentioned by Sayyidina Subki, is Ahlul Kashf wal-Wujdan, Ahlul Tasawwuf, yani. Those people, alhamdulillah, on the way of Sufiya, who agree with one of the two above. Alhamdulillah, we don't need to like fight about this and get involved in this stuff. This is a fitna that was purposely put into a community. Now people are witnessing the evacuation of Palestinians, genocide, the violation of their human rights. And you and I, we have time to talk about secondary issues of aqidah. What's the fruit of aqidah if you can't defend your own community? فخلاص يعني فالحمد لله. I studied with both. I studied in my early days, I was Salafi. I studied with the students of Sheikh Ibn Uthaymeen. Alhamdulillah, I continued to learn and continued to learn. And I learned from scholars, alhamdulillah, and I felt my own personal peace of mind with Ahl Kalam wa Sadat al Asha'ira. Alhamdulillah, yani. And also we should realize, you and I, we don't have a right to ask each other this question. What's your aqidah? What's your madhab? This is strange, man. For Sayyidina Imam al-Ghazali, what he's mentioned now, all of the ulama agree on except one point that the Hanabila, some of the Hanabila differ over. I'll mention it when we get to it. فَمُتَكَلِمًا مُنَزَّهًا عَنْ حُدُوثِ الْكَلَامِ وَالْعِلْمِ وَالْإِرَادَةِ Sayyidina Imam al-Ghazali radiallahu anhu. He said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala transcends human speech and human knowledge and human will. مُقَدَّسًا عَنْ كُلِّ نَقْصٍ وَآفَاتٍ And that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has no shortcomings and no blemishes. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. لَا يُوصَفُ بِصِفَاتِ الْمَحْدُوثِينَ الْمُحْدَثِينَ Excuse me. He's not described in a way which shows temporality. وَلَا يَجُوزُ عَلَيْهِ مَا يَجُوزُ عَلَى الْمَخْلُوقِينَ And it's not possible for us to believe about him or to assume about him, أعوذ بالله, anything related to creation. وَلَمْ يَكُلْ لَهُ كُفُوًا أَحَدًا أو كُفُوًا أَحَدًا وَلَا يُشْبِهُ شَيْئًا مِنْ خَلْقِي And he is not like anything from his creation. وَلَا يُشْبِهُ شَيْئًا And شَيْءٌ And nothing is like him. وَلَا تَضَدَمَّنُهُ الْأَمَاكِنُ وَالْجِهَاتِ And he does not reside in a place or a direction physically. سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى هَذَا لَا يُمْكِنُ وَلَا تُحُلُّهُ الْحَوَارِثُ وَالْآفَاتِ Nor does he enter or come in or come out. We don't believe this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, huwa al-ali, subhanahu wa ta'ala, fawqa ibadi, transcendent. Wa nadhartu, then he says the second thing was the nadhar, wa nadhartu fi mu'jizati al-rasuli sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And if you look at the miracles of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, wa ayatihi wa a'lam nubuwatihi, alimtu annahu rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, wa aminuhu ala wahi. You will know if you think just for a little bit about the role of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his miracles and his character and his teachings and everything he brought, you would know that he's the messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and that he is the one that Allah entrusted to impart his revelation to us sallallahu alaihi wasallam. وَمَا كَانَ يعتقد وما كان السلف الصالح يعتقدونه من أن الله تعالى يرى في الآخرة. The other thing he said is you have to believe in what the salaf al-salih, the early Muslims, the first three generations, believed about that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be seen in the hereafter, as we know is mentioned in the authentic hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wa sahbihi wasallam, وَأَنَّهُ مَوْجُودٌ وَلَيْسَ فِي جِهَةٍ مَحْدُودَةٍ And that Allah exists, but He is not regulated to a place which is mahduda, which can be measured. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wa anna al-Qur'ana kalamullahi ta'ala ghayru makhluqin wa laysa bihurufin muqatta'atin wala aswatin. That the Qur'an is the speech of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is not His creation. And that of course, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's speech does not have letters or a sound. This is a slight difference between Sadat al-Asha'ira with some of the Sadat al-Hanabila about sound and letters. And هذا خلاف لا يفيد العمل يعني. Understanding this difference, if you're taking an Aqidah class, this is not the purpose of this class. It's not going to cause you to pray at night, man. It's not going to cause you to be a better husband or a better wife. Just know that there's this difference in this opinion. إِذْ لَوْ كَانَ كَذَٰرِكَ لَكَانَ مِنْ جُمْلَةِ الْمَخْلُوقِينَ Because if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spoke with sounds, which are measured, or letters, which are contained, then this would make Him like creation. وَأَنَّهُ لَا يَكُونُ فِي الْمُلْكِ وَالْمَلَكُوتِ فَلْتَةُ الْخَاطِرِينَ وَلَا لَفْتَةُ نَاظِرِينَ. If you understand rhetoric here, this is called جِنَاسُ الْقَلْبِ. Imam al-Ghazali was a great writer. So if you look at these two words, those of you who are seeing it in Arabic, فَلْتَةُ and لَفْتَةُ. فَلْتَ فَا لَمْ تَمَعْبُوتَ. Here, لَمْ فَا تَمَعْبُوتَ. If you look, he inverted the فَا and the لَمْ here. This is showing you that he has style. Like, mashallah, he knows how to write. And فَلْتَةُ خَاطِر means like a moment of thought. Like the, you know, just for a split second. وَلَا لَفْتَةُ نَاظِرِينَ. And just you look for a second that there's no simple thought or brief glance, illa biqada'i Allahi ta'ala wa qadri, except it's caused by the qada' of Allah and the qadr of Allah. But this here, just FYI, it's not super important, but if you speak Arabic, it's nice to know this, is called jinasul qalb. Jinasul qalb means I have two words, and they both have the same letters, but in different order, and I use them right after one another. This is called jinas al qalb, from what's called ilmu badi'. Ilmu Badi' is the science of how do you make your speech like nice? How do you decorate your speech? فَسَيْدْنَا Imam Abu Hamad says, وَأَنَّهُ لَا يَكُونُ فِي الْمُلْكِ وَالْمَلَكُوتِ فَلْتَةُ خَاطِرٍ وَلَا لَفْتَةُ نَاظِرٍ. Allahu Akbar. إِلَّا بِقَضَاءِ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى وَقَدْرِ. Except with the defined decree of Allah, and then how that decree has shown itself in creation. وَإِرَادَتِهِ and his will. وَمَشِيئَتِهِ. And if you speak Arabic, irada and mashiyah, this is called عطف التفسير. يعني the same meaning. Irada and mashiyah means the same thing, the will of Allah. فَمِنْهُ الْخَيْرُ وَالشَّرُّ. And this is one of the foundations that all Ahl Sunnah agrees upon, that good and evil comes from Allah. وَالنَّفْعُ وَالضُّرُّ and benefit and harm is from Allah. وَالْإِيمَانُ وَالْكُفْرُ مِنْ اللَّهِ. Somebody may ask, how do I understand Allah's blessings? Because we say that's from His fadl. From His fadl, subhanahu wa ta'ala, His benevolence. How do we understand things like people are disbelievers, harm, pain, suffering? Min adli, from His justice. وَهَذَا صَعْبْ جِدًّا طَبَعًا. But the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, وَتُؤْمِنَ بِالْقَدْرِ خَيْرِهِ وَشَرِّهِ. وَأَنَّهُ لَا وَاجِبَ عَلَى اللَّهِ تَعَالَى لِأَحَدٍ مِّنْ خَلْقِي. And nobody can force Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to do anything. He doesn't owe anyone anything. قَائِم بِنَفْسِ. فَمَنْ أَثَابَهُ فَبِفَضْلِهِ وَمَنْ عَاقَبَهُ فَبِعَدْلِ. As I just said, whoever he chooses to reward in the hereafter, this is from his blessings and his benevolence. Allahumma sha'ala ja'alna min ha'ula. وَمَنْ عَاقَبَهُ فَبِعَدْلِهِ. And whoever he punishes, this is from his justice. سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى. وَمَا وَرَدَ عَلَى لِسَانِ صَاحِبِ الشَّرْعِ صَلَوَاتُ اللَّهِ وَسَلَامُهُ عَلَيْهِ مِنْ أُمُورِ الْآخِرَةِ كَالْحَشْرِ وَنَشْرِ. And you have to believe also on those things that the Prophet ﷺ told us about related to the hereafter. So what the Imam has done again quickly, and this is not even the subject of his book, is given you the aqidah that you would need to go to Jannah in a page and a half. A page and a half. And he divided it into three parts. The first is what's called ilahiyat. Ilahiyat, the science of God. Aw ilm al-tawheed. The second is nubuwat, prophethood. And the third is called as-sam'iyat. As-sam'iyat al-ghaybiyat, yani. Those things that are unseen, you have to hear it. You have to hear it from the Quran. You have to hear it from Sayyid al-Aqwan, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is the way of the majority of Sunnis, how they teach theology. Al-ilahiyat, ma yajibu lillah, wa ma yastahillu lillah, wa ma ja'izun. What's we have to believe, what's impossible to believe, what's probable to believe. The same thing with the Prophets, alayhi wa sallam. And then what's called a sam'iyat. I remember in Al-Azhar, in the Alamiya course, in the Alam program, when I was taking the test, and I had never seen the word as-sam'iyat before. So as I was studying, I asked the teacher, "Eh, as-sam'iyat di? What's as-sam'iyat?" He said, "Al-ghaybiyat, the unseen, you have to hear it." It's a nice word, as-sam'iyat. And why did they use this word as-sam'iyat? Ahlul Kalam. to show you that these are not things you can infer from your heart. You know, I feel like the hereafter is like this, man, or like I had a dream or some strange experience. La'ah. Al-ghaybiyat have to be heard, masha'Allah, from al-anbiya and from the Quran. Masha'Allah. Look at the diqqa of the ulama and the ibara, the precision of the scholars in terms. Because some people nowadays, like, I have this cool feeling, you know, I was eating some really spicy food and suddenly I realized, like, this is the reality. La, Sheikh. La, la, as-sam'iyat, yusma. It has to be heard from the Quran and verbs from Sayyidina Akwan, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَمَا وَرَدَ عَلَى لِسَانِ صَاحِبِ الشَّرْعِ صَلَوَاتُ اللَّهِ وَسَلَامُهُ عَلَيْهِ مِنْ أُمُورِ الْآخِرَةِ كَالْحَشْرِ وَالنَّشْرِ. What is al-hashr? Al-hashr means when everyone is going to be gathered together near Bayt al-Maqdis. And today we're seeing the genocide and the eviction of Palestinians in this area. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us in a situation where we build enough power, instead of fighting all the time and arguing over things, that we build power to support one another and to support our community and to support the organizations, alhamdulillah, who are doing this great work on the ground, trying to help, alhamdulillah, people there. One nashr. And nashr means, of course, when people will come out of their grave. And we know the first person to come out of the grave will be Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Wa adhab al-qabri. You have to believe in the adhab of qabr. This is the opinion of the majority. This is orthodox. Mainstream theologians across history, alhamdulillah, have a firm belief in the punishment of the grave, وَالسُؤَالِ مُنْكَرٍ وَنَكِيرٍ, and being asked by the two angels, who is your Lord, what's your deen, and who taught you? Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bit-taysir. وَالْمِيزَانِ وَالسِّرَاتِ. So what he just did is he modeled for you what's called al-ghaybiyat, al-sam'iyat. What are the ghaybiyat? Those things you have to learn about through wahi. Like, for example, the hashar, the nashr, yawm al-qiyamah, the mizan, the scales, wal sirat, where people will pass over hell. Then look what he says, فَهَذِهِ أُصُولٌ أي هَذِهِ أُصُولُ الدِّينِ. These are the foundations of belief. دَرَجَ السَّلَفُ الصَّالِحِ رَضْوَانَ اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِمْ أَجْمَعِينَ عَلَى اتِّقَادِهَا وَتَمَسُكَ بِهَا عَفْوًا. And he said, these foundations are what the early Muslims held as being mainstream beliefs in which they cling to. وَوَقَعَ عَلَيْهَا الْإِجْمَاعُ قَبْرَ تَنَوُّعِ الْبِدَعِ. And here he says something very important, that the consensus of early Muslims on these issues of faith, the ijma', which is a binding consensus, occurred before the prevalence of bid'ah, before there were differences about theology. وَظُهُورِ الْأَهْوَاءِ, and people started to follow their desires. نَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنْ إِبْتِدَاعِ فِي الدِّينِ وَاتِّبَاعِ الْهَوَى بِغَيْرِ دَلِيلٍ. And Sayyidina Imam al-Ghazali says, we ask Allah to protect us from innovation in religion, heterodoxy, and following our desires without any dalil. Then he says, ثُمْ نَذَرْتُ فِي أَعْمَالِ الْقَلْبِ وَالْمَوَاجِبِ الْبَاطِنَةِ وَالْمَنَاهِيَ. And now he gets to the subject matter of the book, when it comes to knowledge. He says, then you need to think about and ponder on the أَعْمَالُ الْقَلْبِ. The word for the actions of the heart is حَال, أَحْوَال. The word for the actions of the limbs is أَفْعَال, فِعِل. And when both the حَال and the fi'l align, is called amal. Need to pay attention to this. So the actions of the heart are called, like we say, kayfa haluk, ahwal. The actions of the limbs are called af'al, fi'l. When those come together with the mind and the intention, is called amal. That's why Allah, the Prophet said, إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِنِيَاتِ. That's why Allah says, إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَأَفْعَلُوا. لا, إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا. And this goes against the two extremes we see in society today. Some people just say, oh, it's about my heart, alhamdulillah, my hal, mashallah. One time, one brother, he said to me, I pray in my heart. I said, you're not having cardiac arrest. How you pray in your heart, man? You know, brother, I just pray in my heart. And then we find some people, they just focus on the outer and neglect the inner. They're harsh. Imam Ibn Jawzi said, how many people, they have their pants above their ankle, but their heart is busy looking at other people. So like, even though they did that out of humility, like their pants above their ankle, which is not a fard, it's considered recommended. They did that, subhanAllah. But then they're busy looking down on other people. So it's like they blotted out their humility with their arrogance. وَالْجَمْعُ وَجِيبٌ مَا أَمْكَنَا. We want to bring both together. The heart and the mind and the limbs. As well, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ التَّوَّابِينَ وَيُحِبُّ الْمُتَطَهِرِينَ. Allah loves the people of tawbah and the people of outer purity. Tawbah is the inner purity. Tahara is the outer physical purity. Allahu Akbar. So the Shaykh, he says, ثُمَّ نَظَرْتُ فِي أَعْمَالِ الْقُلُوبِ وَالْمَوَاجِبِ الْبَاطِنَةِ وَالْمَنَاهِ الَّتِي تَأْتِي فِي هَذَا الْكِتَابِ لِيَحْسُلَ لَكَ عِلْمُهُ. He says, as it pertains to the stuff that's related to the heart, look at it. We're going to address it in this book. ثُمَّ تَعْرِفُ جُمْلَةَ مَا تَحْتَاجُ إِلَى اسْتِعْمَالِهِ كَالطَّهَارَةِ وَالصَّلَاةِ وَالصَّوْمِ وَنَحْوِ. And now he does something very nice. He shows you the subtle relationship between acts of devotion and the heart. Because after someone has started to work on their heart and purify their heart and try to be a better person, he says, then you're going to look at what you need in order to perform that. From purity, from salah, from fasting, and things similar. So the relationship between purification of the heart and worship. فَلَقَدْ أَدَّيْتَ فَرْضَ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى عَلَيْكَ الَّذِي تَعَبَّرَكَ فِي بَابِ الْعِلْمِ. And if you do that, then you have successfully performed the obligation that Allah has commanded you to use to worship Him when it comes to knowledge. So now he's coming to the end of the section. And what he's saying is, you learn faith, you learn about the science of the heart, and you translate this into good deeds. If you do this, then adaita fardallahi ta'ala alik. Then you have successfully observed and performed what Allah has obligated upon you. Alladhi ta'abbaraka fi bab al-ilm. In relationship to what is the component of worship when it comes to knowledge. Walaqad sirta min ulama'i ummati Muhammadin sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ar-rasikhina fil ilm. And you've become from those people who have knowledge which has rusukh, a strong foundation. فَإِنْ عَمِلْتَ بِعِلْمِكَ وَأَقْبَلْتَ عَلَىٰ عِمَارَةِ مَعَادِ كُنْتَ عَبْدًا عَالِمًا عَامِلًا لِلَّهِ تَعَالَىٰ عَلَىٰ بَصِيرَةٍ غَيْرَ جَاهِلٍ. He says something beautiful. And if you accept this, right, and you act on what you know, and you keep the hereafter in front of you, then you are going to be those servants of Allah who have knowledge, who worship for Allah's sake upon clarity and insight without ignorance. وَلَا مُقَلِّدِينَ وَلَا غَافِلِينَ. You're not someone who just goes with the flow or is negligent. فَلَكَ الشَّرَفُ الْعَظِيمُ. And that is for you a great honor. وَلِعِلْمِكَ الْقَيِّمَةُ الْكَبِيرَةُ وَالثَّوَابُ الْجَزِيلُ. And your knowledge then has incredible value. And of course, this reward is going to be great. وَكُنْتُ قَدْ قَطَعْتَ هَذِهِ الْعَقَبَ وَخَلَّفْتَهَا وَرَاءَكَ وَقَضَيْتَ حَقَّهَا بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ. And then at that moment, you've passed beyond now our first obstacle, your first hurdle, knowledge. We spent a lot of time on this, man. And what did he talk about? What's knowledge? The necessity of knowledge, the location of knowledge, religious knowledge as being central to our lives. Then what is it that we have to learn? The three things: faith, practice, and the heart. Then he went through each one of those. How much do you have to know? Then he talked about some of the dangers of knowledge, showing off, getting the likes, doing it for the gram, getting attention, exhibition. And then at the end, again, he goes back to some of the foundations and he says, the purpose of this book is to work on this, the heart. Then he says, very beautifully, Wallahu subhanahu wa ta'ala mas'oolun an yumiddaka wa iyana bi husni tawfiqihi wa taysirihi, ya Allah. He said, and Allah is the one who is responsible for guiding us and extending our lives and our path towards proper guidance and facilitation. Innahu arhamur rahimin wa la hawla wa la quwwata illa billahi al-aliyyil azim. And indeed Allah is the most merciful of those who grant mercy, and there's no movement or power except by the will of Allah. MashaAllah, MashaAllah. So congratulations, you finished the first hurdle. That takes us now to the second hurdle, the second obstacle. And he says, Rahimahullah, Al-aqabatu taniya wa hiya aqabatu tawbah. So the first challenge in living a life of faith and devotion is knowledge and all those things that are packed into it. Now the second challenge, wa alaykum salam rahmatullah Yusuf, is tawbah, repentance. MashaAllah, the Shaykh, he finished the last section by saying, la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said that la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah kanz min kunuz al-jannah. He said that the statement, la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah, is a treasure from Jannah. وَقَالَ بَعْضُ الصَّالِحِينَ, some of the righteous people, they said about لَا حَوْلَ وَلَا قُوَّةَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ لَهُ تَأْثِيرٌ عَظِيمٌ فِي طَرْدِ الشَّيَاطِينَ, that it has an incredible impact in repelling the shayateen والجن and the jinn. وَفِي جَلْبِ الرِّزْقِ وَالْغِنَى وَالشِّفَاءِ, and that saying لَا حَوْلَ وَلَا قُوَّةَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ brings about provisions, brings about a sense of autonomy in a healthy way, and healing. Ask Allah subhanahu wa tahsil al-quwwah, brings about strength. Wa daf' al-ajzi wa ghayri dhalik. MashaAllah. And it brings about strength and pushes away weakness. And the Shaykh, he says, Bismillah, al-aqabatu thaniyatu wa hiya aqabatu tawbah. Sayyidina Imam al-Ghazali says, the second obstacle is tawbah. وَهِيَ أَهَمْ قَوَاعِدِ الدِّينِ وَأَوَّلُ مَنَازِلِ السَّالِكِينَ وَأَصْلُ مَقَامَاتِ الطَّالِبِينَ. One of our teachers used to say about tawbah, that tawbah is the foundation of the religion, the first step of the seeker, and the anchor of those who are looking for Jannah. We know, mashallah, there's a lot of ayat in the Qur'an that encourage us to make tawbah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says about repentance, after a'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim, وَتُوبُوا إِلَى اللَّهِ جَمِيعًا أَيُّهَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ. In Surah Nur, Allah says, and repent all of you to Allah, O believers, and you will be successful. Allah says in the Quran, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ التَّوَّابِينَ وَيُحِبُّ الْمُتَطَهِّرِينَ. Allah loves the people of Tawbah and loves the people of purity. We talked about that verse earlier. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, O people, تُوبُوا إِلَى اللَّهِ فَإِنِّي أَتُوبُ إِلَيْهِ كُلَّ يَوْمٍ مِئَةَ مَرَّةٍ. Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, O people, repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For indeed, I repent to Allah Azza wa Jalla, mashallah, at least 100 times a day. You know, sometimes you may feel that your sins, I may feel that our sins are too great. But we know that Wahshi, the one who killed Sayyidina Hamza, Sayyidina Ibn Abbas, he mentions that Wahshi, he sent a letter to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he said, إِنِّي أُرِيدُ أَنْ أُسْلِمْ إِنَّنِي أُرِيدُ أَنْ أُسْلِمْ, I want to become Muslim. وَلَكِنِّي يَمْنَعُنِي عن الإسلام آية من القرآن. He said, but there's a verse of the Quran that prevents me from coming to Islam. نُزِلَتْ عَلَيْكَ was sent to you, O Muhammad, عَلَيْهِ سَلَاتُ السَّلَامُ. It's the verse Allah says, وَالَّذِينَ لَا يَدَعُونَ مَعَ اللَّهِ إِلَهًا آخَرٌ وَلَا يَقْتُلُونَ النَّفْسَ الَّتِي حَرَّمَ اللَّهُ إِلَّا بِالْحَقِّ وَلَا يَزْنُونَ وَمَنْ يَفْعَلْ ذَلِكَ يَلْقَ أَثَامًا. Imagine in the time of the Prophet ﷺ, the non-Muslims, they could quote the Quran. Don't be shocked. Imam Muhammad Abdu, radiallahu anhu, when he was in Lebanon, one of his students told me that the Christians used to come to his tafsir. They used to attend the tafsir of Sheikh Muhammad Abdu. And somebody asked him, and if you understand Lebanon, that's not easy. And somebody asked Sayyidina, someone asked, why do you guys attend the tafsir of Sheikh Muhammad Abdu? Said, Nastafid, because we benefit from him. We can not only locate the Quran as a book for Muslims, but the Quran in Surah Al-Furqan, this chapter, which Wahshi is quoting from, تبارك الذي نزل الفرقان على عبده ليكون للمسلمين أو ليكون للعالمين نذيرا. Allah says in Surah Al-Furqan, blessed be the one who revealed the criterion to his servant Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, so it could be for the Muslims or for creation a reminder for everyone. Except Joe Osteen is an uneducated peddler of the gospel of prosperity. It's very easy to tell everybody everything's great, God is love, get rich, God loves you. That's easy to tell people. But then when people are outside of your church during a flood and you won't let them in, are you really, really a peddler of paradise? Or a peddler of something else? Because religion can't only be about feeling good. Religion is about responsibility. Rabbana Yahdi. So Wahshi, and, you know, not to go off, but talk about the prosperity gospel pushed by people like Joel Osteen. In his own book, it says that Christ came into the church and turned the tables over. We have to be very careful who we take our religion from. Because oftentimes, carriers of religion may actually be reflecting parts of the secular society which are not permissible for us to engage in, but it pulls on the heart. It brings about a sense of comfortability. Islam is not about likes and friends, man. It's about the haqq and presenting it in a nice way. So Wahshi, he sends this letter to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he says, I will become Muslim except the verse that says, those who call on other than Allah, like people who pray to Jesus or prophets, and those who have killed unjustly, and those, right, who have fallen into fornication. He said, وَإِنِّي قَدْ فَعَلْتُ هَذِي الْأَشْيَاءَ الثَّلَاثَةَ. Wahshi said, I did all this. I did all three. فَهَلْ لِي مِنْ تَوْبَةَ. Is it possible for me to repent? Imagine the person who killed Hamza. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala heard him. The person who killed the uncle of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Subhanallah. Nowadays we don't listen to the sinners. We don't listen to the people that are trying to come back. Like earlier today, this sister who typed, and she said, I want to come back to Allah. You're already back. If you're asking, mashallah, welcome home. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala heard the voice of the one who killed Sayyidina Hamza, the am of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because when he wrote this question, it was read to the Prophet, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed, إِلَّا مَنْ تَابَ وَآمَنَ وَعَمِلَ صَالِحًا وَعَمِلَ عَمَلًا صَالِحًا فَأُولَٰئِكَ يُبَدِّلُ اللَّهُ سَيِّئَاتِهِمْ حَسَنَاتٍ. When this was read to the Prophet, the verse came, except those who repent from those things and believe and do good. Listen to this verse, man. Listen to this verse if you feel like you're struggling. Then indeed, if they do that, Allah will exchange the evil they did for good. Subhanallah. And that was sent back to Wahshi, this verse. Then Wahshi said, Inna fi al-ayati shartan wa huwa al-amalu al-saliha aw al-salih wa la adri hal aqdiru ala al-amal al-salihi am la. Then Wahshi wrote back, he said, but in the verse it says, those who do good, I don't know if I actually can be from the people who constantly do good. Like, I'm not the best guy. Look at the moment of vulnerability, man. We have to allow ourselves to be vulnerable with one another so we can expose each other to Allah's forgiveness. I may not forgive you, you may not forgive me, but Allah can forgive us both. And when we don't allow each other to be honest and vulnerable with one another, then how can we shine Allah's rahmah and see hope through that mercy? So he wrote back, he said, I don't know if I can do that, man. I don't know if I'm, you know, one of the conditions is those who do good, I'm not the best guy. If you can't forgive yourself, at least you know Allah will forgive you. Someone asked, what if we can't forgive ourselves? Allah can forgive you. It's not your business. But we talked about this. We'll talk about it later. We should never allow a mistake to reach the point that it destroys our ability to be better people. So he wrote back, Surah Al-Furqan, the end of the chapter. Thanks for asking. May Allah bless you. Imagine everyone now who looks at the end of Surah Al-Furqan, Adam is going to get ajr for it. MashaAllah. So he wrote back, he said, I don't know if I'm that good of a person. I don't know if I could do that. Then that was presented to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and then Allah revealed, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَغْفِرُ أَن يُشْرَكَ بِهِ وَيَغْفِرُ مَا دُونَ ذَٰلِكَ لِمَن يَشَاءُ. Allah forgives every sin except shirk. And also He forgives shirk in this life. What it means, He doesn't forgive shirk after death. يعني إن الله لا يغفر أن يشرك به بعد الموت. يعني بعدم التوبة. No problems. I like contrarians anyways. Contrarians are fine, alhamdulillah. It's how some people learn, right? Some people learn by asking questions and engaging. That's not a bad thing. So then Allah revealed this verse. As long as you don't commit shirk, you good, bro. Just do your best. Then he said, but there's also another condition, Wahshi said in this verse, that says, Yaghfir, Allah will forgive. I fear Allah won't forgive me. Then the other verse came from Surah Az-Zumar. قُلْ يَا عِبَادِيَ الَّذِينَ أَسْرَفُوا عَلَى أَنفُسِهِمْ لَا تَقْنَاتُ مِنْ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ. Say, my servants who have wronged yourself, it is forbidden to give up on the mercy of Allah. And when he heard this, MashaAllah, قَدَّمَ الْمَدِينَ وَأَسْلَمْ. Allah. When he heard this, he came to Medina and he embraced Islam. Now sometimes maybe because the world around us hates Islam and hates Muslims, we have inadvertently begin to hate ourselves, or we replaced Islamic values with other isms and we use those other isms as a way to hate one another. So sometimes even people who try to become Muslim, people give them a hard time, man. Look at this though. Look at this person. He's the murderer of Hamza. And he's extremely vulnerable. And he keeps saying, but this, but this, but this, but this, but this. And it ends, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَغْفِرُ ذُنُوبَ جَمِيعًا. Allah forgives all sins, buddy. إِنَّهُ هُوَ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. And he comes to Medina, and Allahu Akbar, he embraced Islam. Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salatu salam, he was shown, mashallah, different types of people. And every time they were doing a sin, he would ask Allah to destroy them. Then Allah said, Ya Ibrahim, da'anka ibadi, fa'inna ibadi bayna thalathi khisalin. He said, stop, like leave my servants alone, because my servants fall into one of three categories. Bayna an yatuba fa'atubu alayhi. The first is someone who repents and I forgive them. The second is someone astakhrij lahu dhurriyatan ta'buduni. The third, maybe that person doesn't repent, but I will bring from them offspring who will worship me, like Ta'if, like me. And the third, an yataghallaba alayhi shiqa. And the person who's overcome, subhanAllah, by evil, that person will go to hell. Meaning, Ibrahim, it ain't your business. So now we reached the second obstacle, at-tawbah. Qala Imam al-Ghazali, we're going to finish insha'Allah. Qala al-aqabatu thaniyatu wa hiya aqabatu tawbah. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, yuraqqi qulubana wa ja'alna min at-ta'ibin, yani. Thumma alayka ya talib al-ibadati. Qala Sayyidina Imam. Then he says, then upon you, O seeker of worship, وفقق الله. Any of you watching now, if you're new to this class, what you want to understand is, Imam al-Ghazali, what did he say? The entire goal of everything we're talking about is for you to worship. So the premise by which you want to look at all this is, how can I be a better worshiper? How do I take knowledge and translate that into worship? Not likes, not attention, not arguments, not debates, not splitting the ummah. How do you take what you learned and pray at night? How do you take what you learned and serve people? How do you take what you learned and heal a shattered world? One of the challenges of the Muslim community is that knowledge now is for the sake of knowledge. But that's not what knowledge is. Someone asked Imam Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, what is knowledge? He said, knowledge is the reverence of Allah. So understand how he's talking. For Sayyidina Imam, he says, نَفْعَنَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى بِعِلْمِهِ فِي دَارِينِ آمِينَ. And this class is for mature people. If you're one of those people, I don't know who's Al-Ghazali, who are you? You should know yourself. Like, you know yourself more than you know Ghazali. No, the way you talk, like you know Ghazali more than you know yourself. This Imam, what about you? I remember, subhanAllah, one time there was one brother in a halaqa with us, and every time a name was mentioned, he would have something to say. And then afterwards, he took me to the side, and he said, man, can you help me? I'm having trouble praying Fajr. You can't pray Fajr, but you got time to go after the big wigs? You got time to go after the ulama? That shows you there's a problem. When you're able to project your weaknesses and your anger and your anxiety and madness and frustration on Ghazali or any other luminary from history, but you yourself are so messed up and broken. What does it tell you? That's why Sayyidina Imam al-Muhasibi said, وَكَفَى بِالْمَرْءِ عَيْبًا. It's sufficient of a shame for a person that he or she is constantly critical of others for things that he or she does themselves. ثُمَّ عَلَيْكَ يَا طَالِبَ الْعِبَادَةِ. O you who seek worship, this is what you need to do. وَفَقَقَ اللَّهُ بِتَوْبَةٍ. May Allah guide us. You need to think about repentance. وَذَٰرِكَ لِأَمْرَيْنِ. And that's for two things, two reasons. أحدهما ليحصل لك توفيق الطاعة. The first is so that you will be guided to obedience. فَإِنَّ شُؤُومَ الذُّنُوبِ يُورِثُ الْحِرْمَانِ ويعقب الخذلان وأن قيد الذنوب يمنع عن الشيء عن المشي إلى طاعة الله عز وجل. What he says is because sins have an impact. And the first is that sin leads to haram. And causes a person to fall into destruction. And that the chains of sin keep someone from moving towards the obedience of Allah Azza wa Jal. وَالْمُسَارَعَ إِلَى خِتْمَتِهِ And racing to serve the deen of Allah. لِأَنَّ ثِقْلَ الذُّنُوبِ يَمْنَعُ مِنَ الْخِفَّةِ لِلْخَيْرَاتِ وَالنَّشَاطِ فِي الطَّاعَاتِ He says something beautiful. He says the heaviness of sin, the weight of sin, keeps someone from being light in moving towards good, being in an act in good actions in obedience of Allah. وَأَنَّ الْإِسْرَارَ على الذنوب and to be consistent in sinning بما يسود القلوب which blurs the heart فتجدها في ظلمة في ظلمة وقساوة ولا خلوص فيها ولا صفاوة ولا لذة ولا حلاوة لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله يا الله. And he said because you know constantly doing the same sin over and over and over again is going to make your heart blurred. And you're going to find your heart in a state of loss and harshness. And there'll be no, you know, safawa. Yani we say al-jaw safi. When the sky has no clouds, it's like really clear. It's the same way you say you're not going to find this in your heart, man. Wala ladha wala hala. When there's going to be no sweetness and no joy truly in the heart. وَإِنْ لَمْ يَرْحَمِ اللَّهَ يَا اللَّهُ اللَّهُمَّ اغْفِرْ لَنَا وَارْحَمْنَا وَثَبِّتْنَا يَا رَبِّ And if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wasn't for His grace, فَسَتَجُرُّ ضَاحَ ضَاحِبَهَا إِلَى الْكُفْرِ وَالشَّقَاوَ أَوْ صَاحِبِهَا عَفْوًا فَسَتَجُرُّ صَاحِبَهَا إِلَى الْكُفْرِ وَالشَّقَاوَةِ And if it wasn't for Allah's grace and mercy, those sins would leave someone eventually to kufr. فَيَا عَجَبًا كَيْفِ يُوَفِّقُ لِطَاعَ مَنْ هُوَ فِي شُؤُومِ وَقَصْوَةِ He said, how incredible is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He guides those people who are stuck in loss and sin and harshness. وَكَيْفَ يُدْعَى إِلَى الْخِتْمَةِ مَنْ هُوَ مَصِيرٌ عَلَى الْمَعْصِيَةِ وَمُقِيمٌ عَلَى الْجَفْوَ Ya Allah! And how? I'm going to put it in the active sense, even though it's in the passive in Arabic. And how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides people to service, even though they're headed towards disobedience. And they are like established upon sin and harshness. وَكَيْفْ يُقَرَّبْ لِلْمُنَاجَاتِ مَنْ هُوَ مُتَلَطِّجٌ بِالْأَقْذَارِ وَالنَّجَاسَاتِ يَا اللَّهِ And how can anyone flee to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when they are polluted and covered with filth and impurities? فَفِي الْخَبَرِ عَنِ الصَّادِقِ الْمَصْدُوقِ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَمَ أَنَّهُ قَالَ إِذَا كَذَبَ الْعَبْدُ تَنَاحَ عَنْهُ الْمَكَانَ مِنْ نَتَنٍ مَا يَخْرُجُ مِنْ فِيهِ فَكَيْفَ يَصْلُحُ هَذَا اللِّسَانُ لِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلْ Allahu Akbar. سبحان الله فَلَا جَرَمَ لَا يَكَادُ يَجِدُ الْمَصِيرُ عَلَى الْعِسْيَانِ تَوْفِيقًا So what he's talking about here, and we're going to finish inshallah because of time, is the importance of repentance. How can I go to a party if I'm filthy? How can I present myself in any place if I'm unclean? So what he's saying is, Let's just talk about the importance of repentance, that to step into the relationship with Subhanahu wa Ta'ala and to be covered with the filth of sin and disobedience. So therefore, before I step into that situation, I have to repent. I have to turn to Allah, Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. Every place has conditions for us to enter: our house, the school, our work, the gym, the restaurant, no shoes, no shirt, no service. Relationship with Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, the condition is tawbah. To repent to Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. And Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala promises, for whoever repents to Him, فَخَلَاصْ أَتَّائِبُ. The Prophet said, whoever repents is like nobody that has sin. Next week, inshaAllah ta'ala, because you have to forgive me, towards the end, my mind does start to get exhausted, man, trying to think in two languages. We're going to continue on this first, subhanAllah, second obstacle, the obstacle of tawbah. We finished, alhamdulillah, congratulations, the obstacle of knowledge. Now, alhamdulillah, we continue to the obstacle, the challenge, the hurdle of repentance. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, yunawwir qulubana wa yuthabbit aqdamana wa yansurna ala a'da'ina. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us tawfiq. Ask Allah to bless brothers and sisters in Palestine, Kashmir. If you have any questions, we can take them now. If not, next week, inshaAllah ta'ala, we're going to continue with a tawbah.